From the heart of the Lord. Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, part of it, he said that the world will little note nor long remember the sacrifice that was made there at Gettysburg. Little note nor long remember. And there are many who will little note nor long remember SCORE Conference year 2009. They weren't here. They did not feel. They were not marinated in the Holy Ghost. They did not receive nor glean from the Spirit what you and I have received and gleaned from the Holy Ghost. We will remember, and we have made a great indelible mark on our spirit and our soul to never be different or never be the same that we were when we came. Can you say praise the Lord? I came here to this meeting hungry for God. I have been on a quest, a personal quest, to know more about the Lord. And this week, in times of prayer, alone with the Lord, I have asked Him direct questions concerning relationship. And this week, during the preaching, I will concur with Elder Booker that those answers came point by point, understanding and revelation. And I want to thank the Lord and thank these men for being so sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Can you shout amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I am so happy to be part of the SCORE Conference this year. I really mean that. I love the Bass family. This is a class act. New Life Tabernacle. I think this is it. New Life Tabernacle. New Life. It's Life Tabernacle. We're not charismatic. Life Tabernacle in Cala, Florida. It's a class act. Amen. Amen. I will tell Brother Howard about that New Life part of it. Amen. Maybe he'll get the CD. The facilities around here are above average. And I mark that. I pay attention to that personally because I believe that the way your facilities look represent your opinion about what's going on around here. Amen. This place is way above average. The remodel of the vestibule is classy. I like it. If you haven't paid attention to it, you should. It's understated grandeur. The accommodations, the invitation, the meals, the fellowship have all been wonderful. And I do appreciate that, Brother Bass. I really do. That goodie basket, whoever put that basket together, there's a little bit of everything in there. And I pulled out a pocket knife. I cut it open. I went through it. I found Starbucks cards. I found handkerchiefs. Hallelujah. I buy them by the gross. And they disappear as quickly as I buy them. It's a mystery. I have an 18-year-old son. And he started wearing my socks and other garments until he outgrew me. Still tries to wear the socks. And so I said to myself, I'm going to beat this guy at his own game. I went down and bought me one of those laundry bags. And when I pull my socks off, I stuff them in the bag. And I take them personally to the washer. And I personally wash them. And I personally put them in the dryer. And I personally fold them and stick them back in my drawer. And they still disappear. Handkerchiefs, I don't understand where they go. But they go somewhere because they don't hang around. And I appreciate everything that this church has done to make us feel very, very, very comfortable. I am going to say this. I don't know where your room is, Elder McMullen, but yesterday afternoon, when you were talking about that visitation of the Holy Ghost, I was sitting in my room, the shades were drawn, and there came into that room a powerful visitation of the Holy Ghost. I got to thinking about it later. It's the first motel room I've ever stayed in where you felt the freedom of prayer in the motel room. Either it's too new or you're above me or below me. But wherever you're at, I felt it too. Praise God. It has been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be here. I thought about this, and it's a song that we sing seasonally, but it was not written for the seasons. And Phillips Brooks wrote a song after a tour of the Holy Land, came back by steamership in the late 1800s, and wrote this song. And the title of it is, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The conclusion of the first verse says these words, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And I've thought an awful lot about this service, thought an awful lot about this conference. This is the last night of this meeting, and we have been in heavenly places, but hopes and fears are met in this house tonight. We need another visitation of the Holy Ghost. We really do. And I really want another visitation of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this tonight, and I hope you will not misunderstand, but in a meeting like this, I personally do not come with a made-up mind, my finger on a sermon that I want to preach. That's just not the way it works for me. But somewhere you feel a little thread start working its way through your mind and spirit. But after such profound preaching and visitations of the Spirit of the Lord, and such a theme that has been woven throughout this conference, a lot of things can start racing through a man's mind. Next week, I will celebrate my 55th birthday. I have been preaching well over half of my life now. And I've got a lot of sermons stacked up, a lot of ideas that I haven't ever expressed. But tonight, the hopes and the fears of all of our years are met in this house tonight. And I want the Lord to give us another clear sound through His holy, holy presence. Would you stand tonight in honor to the reading of the Word of the Lord, to these wonderful brethren who preached before us? Thank you so much for being so obedient to the Holy Ghost and helping me. And in advance, the church that I pastor thanks you for sending home from SCORE a better pastor than they sent to SCORE. Praise the Lord. Reading from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 2, and reading one verse of Scripture, verse number 1. I want to do my best tonight to follow the Holy Ghost. I've tried to write a lot of notes, and I have filled the wastebasket full of scraps, but I want the Lord to help us. Reading from the first verse. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. I want you to look at that with me a moment. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. He was blessed of God. He had no lack. There was no shortcomings in what the Lord had done for him. He had honor in abundance. But he did something very, very strange to me. He joined affinity with Ahab. Now, if you don't know what that means, they tell us that kings married their sons and their daughters to the sons and the daughters of other kings, thus securing their borders and making allies. And so when the Scripture said that he joined affinity with Ahab, he married his family to the family of Ahab. And he married some things he shouldn't have married. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for the good spirit that you have given in this meeting. I am praying tonight for the abundance of your anointing to fall upon this house one more time. Let the grace and the mind and the will of the Holy Ghost come upon this people tonight, for they are your people and they love you. And I pray, God, that you would bless them tonight in Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. I don't know how a deep move of the Holy Ghost affects you. I would presume, since we are all built of the same dust of the ground, one man would say same mud, that it probably affects you the way that it affects me. Deep moves of the Holy Ghost generally draw something out of my spirit and cause me to do a lot of introspection, a lot of looking at myself. I think about men in the Word of God that have had singular visitations of the Lord, and their reactions are all very, very similar. There is Moses at the burning bush, and when the Lord speaks to him, his shoes are taken off and he falls before the presence of the Lord. There is Daniel, who has been fasting and praying and seeking God. And after 21 days of no pleasant meat, the Bible tells us that Daniel has a visitor. It's an angelic presence of the Lord that comes, and he falls. And the scripture tells us that he was as a dead man. Isaiah, in the year that Uzziah the king died, saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and he fell upon his face. It was the touch of God and the commandment of God that gave him the strength, that he got up on his hands and knees. But he said what we all have at one time or another quoted, and that is, "Woe is me." It was Ezekiel by the river Chebar, and while others were there with him, he was among the captives. He had visions of the Lord, and he also had no strength left in him, and he began to feel less than adequate, and it took the hand and the touch of God upon him also for him to rise. It was John on the Isle of Patmos. And John, in the Spirit of the Lord's day, heard a voice behind him. And turning to see that voice, he falls again. There's no strength in him. He is looking at himself and recognizing that in this awesome presence of the Lord, there's a lot about me that I'm not real happy about. There's a lot about me that doesn't stack up very high right now. There's a lot about me that if I could do something about it, I would change it immediately. And the only thing left for them to do was to humble themselves in such a manner that it is noteworthy here tonight. And so I would submit to us tonight that most of us, if there's anything in us that loves God and wants the touch of God, that when the anointing, when the presence, and when the glory of God begins to come near, that we turn to ourselves and begin to examine ourselves. Last night, I found myself praying, and I came up short, and I began to think about all of the areas in my life that I want him to stay. And so I'm going to divest myself of those things. Elder Booker was preaching today, quoted to us, read to us from the book of Isaiah, the 33rd chapter. And when he started reading that list of things, the hearing of the ears and the seeing of the eyes. And if you were here, you heard the story of this man, this Norwegian pastor that got in conviction about his movies. And when Brother Booker was reading that scripture, there was something that smote me like an arrow in my heart. No, I have not been watching movies. No, I have not been looking at television. And no, I don't have any DVDs to observe. And I can't tell you. I'm just going to tell you that I don't do that. Not here, not at home, not anywhere. So it's not that. But the conviction of the presence and the anointing of the Lord made me stop and take a real careful look at what I'm doing and where I'm headed and the things that are in my life. And so tonight, I come back to this pulpit again in the will of the Lord to preach to us one more time that in such an atmosphere and in such a demonstration of the presence and the glory and the anointing of the Lord, that we ought to stop one more time and take a real hard look at our direction and see ourselves like He sees us and try to envision our spirit and whether it's right with God or not. And if it's not right and we find ourselves lacking, that somewhere before we get out of Ocala, Florida, that we'll find an altar and we'll do some cleaning up and we'll do some soul searching and we'll do some changing and we'll make some commitments to God that I'm going to be what God has envisioned that I'm going to be. My dream is going to match His dream about me, and my desire is going to be wrapped up in Holy Ghost desire. I want to be the man that He called me to be. I want to be the man for the city that He set me in. I want to be the pastor for the church that He put me in. I want to be God's man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thought about the people of Israel, and it was so ably mentioned already in this conference about the calling of Abraham out of the land of his nativity and the separation that was involved. And then there was further separation, and the people of God drew themselves unto themselves. We find 70 souls going down into Egypt and then coming out 400 years later, a mighty nation being separated by God Himself, wandering in a wilderness with the hand of God upon them. And as they walk, He keeps them from the entanglements of the nations around them. When they go into the land of promise, He fights in their behalf. He gives them commandment. Don't marry their daughters. And don't give your sons to be married to their daughters. Amen. Don't mix and mingle this beautiful seed of Abraham and of Israel. And don't pollute my sacrifices by bringing this in to your home and your house. And so the Bible tells us that they, for the most part, attempted to observe that. And when they erred, there was always correction that came back to them that caused them again to separate. We find them as they're walking in the presence of the Lord. They reach a place in their relationship with God that among themselves there is a separation. And because of the sins of Jeroboam, there are 10 tribes that go into this direction. And the 2 tribes of Judah, amen, Benjamin, go another direction. And there is another separation. There are 7 kings all the way to Ahab. And every one of them are evil. And every one of them have done despitefully to the things of God. And we find Jehoshaphat, the 6th king from David, that his heart is towards God. His spirit is right towards the things of the Lord. And there is a visible line of demarcation. And there is a visible demonstration of God's favor upon the king that did right and the kings that did evil and the people that suffered or were blessed because of the leadership that they had. I've got a burden on my heart tonight about the people of God in this time of searching the Lord, in this time of being called by His presence. I've got a word on my spirit tonight that it's time to get back to some of those days of separation and seeking after God.
some influences and praying for the favor of the Holy Ghost to come upon us again. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I want the favor of God. I don't know about you, but I want the visitation of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I want altars that are blessed. I don't know about you, but I want people to pray through in the church that I pastor. I don't know about you, but I want to start new works in the will of God. I want to see an apostolic revival. Praise the Lord. Brother Booker, I got thinking about this not too long back. If God should choose, if the Lord should withdraw His favor from the church that I pastor, those wonderful people would be scattered in a day. If God withdrew His favor, there could come one big calamity, one big scandal. There could be one big event that took place out of my control, and it would be scattered to the winds. I don't believe that church is built upon my shoulders or my intellect. I do not believe that my talent has built that beautiful assembly of people, but it's been the favor of the Holy Ghost. It's been the anointing of God upon them. It has been the favor of the Almighty that comes often to visit. Amen. I thank God for the prayer rooms. And I thank God for the visitation of His Spirit. And I've come tonight to look at myself again and to see if I'm married to anything. Have I got something in my life that I need to get rid of?
Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat's introduced to us. Bible said that in 17th chapter verse 1, Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, strengthened himself against Israel. And the Bible tells us in verse 3 that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Verse number 7 tells us that in the third year of his reign, he sent out Levites and princes. Amen. He sent out teachers. He sent out men with the word of God. And he sent them throughout all of Judah. And he had everybody to hear again the commandments of God. And nobody escaped it. And everybody heard it. Verse number 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Verse number 12 tells us that Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly and built in Judah castles and cities of store. And verse 13 tells us he had great business in the cities of Judah. And he had a standing army of 1,160,000 valiant, mighty men of valor. Everything he touched had the favor of God. Everything he did had the anointing of God upon it. Everything he accomplished was because God did it all. Everything that he had in his kingdom, it was the gift of God upon his life. It was not because of Jehoshaphat. It was because of the God of Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you hearken back to some simple days? Can you go back in your mind when you first began this walk with God? Can you remember what it was like, brethren, when you first started pastoring? When the anointing first came upon your life? When the first spiritual revival broke out among you? When there was that first touch of God and souls began to pray through and people began to live for God and the anointing began to come? Oh, those were the halcyon days, weren't they? Oh, those were beautiful days. Sure, there were struggles, but we were too ignorant to know they were struggles. We just thought it was part of the journey. Amen. Sure, there was backstepping sometimes, but we just thought that's the way you're supposed to do it. But always in our mind and in our heart
was that God is doing this. And we're going forward. And we're going to do right. Amen. We weren't known to anybody except God. And a few folks around us that knew our name. And we were happy and we were content just to be involved in the work of God. And that's the way that Jehoshaphat is living his life. Amen. And brother, it's beautiful. Everything he touches, everything he does. Woo! I love that. I love that. I got so excited 2 Sundays ago. Be 3 Sundays. Day after tomorrow. A woman who is 74 years of age came walking through the back door of the church. And she came to the fourth pew from the front. And she came to the altar before service ever started. And she was crying. Her hands were covered with rings. And she had them dangling from her ears and makeup smeared. But she was there. She had, I don't know, she started crying and praying. The altar call was given and she came to the altar. She came back on Tuesday night. She came back on Sunday morning and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when I get back Sunday, I'm going to baptize her in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. You know what her testimony was? I've been driving back and forth in front of this church, and every time I drive back and forth in front of this church, I got so hungry. I got so hungry. I wanted God so badly. I want to live for God. And she said, when I came to the door, I knew I had come home. I knew I had found the place. You can't get that out of a program. You can't get that of labor. You get that because of the favor of the Holy Ghost. Come on, do you want the favor of the Lord? Stand to your feet, lift your hands, worship God, ask Him for His favor. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You may be seated. How do you put a price tag on the favor of God? What premium do you place on it? What's the value of it? What is it worth to you? How do you attain it? And what does it take to lose it? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, help us. And the Bible said he joined affinity with Ahab. Let's take a look at this man by the name of Ahab. Everybody in this building that knows anything about the Old Testament Word of God and the kings of Israel have heard about Ahab and Jezebel. The Bible says of this man Ahab, 7th king from Jeroboam, that he did evil above all that were before him. And the Bible said that he excelled Jeroboam in his disregard of godly precedent. He had a wife by the name of Jezebel. And the Bible says of this man that he did more to provoke God to anger than all the kings that were before him. Elijah found him in Naboth's vineyard and gave him a prophetic utterance from the Lord and said that there's none like Ahab who has sold himself to work wickedness because Jezebel stirred him up. Oh, you talk about a man. He despised godly prophets. He despised Elijah. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Lord, have mercy on a man's soul that when the preacher's preaching behind the sacred desk that has the attitude, he better not touch me. He better not talk about mine. He better not deal with my heart. Come on. God, have mercy on that man. God, have mercy on the preacher that can come to a conference and say, you preach what I like to hear or I'll cut you off and never come back again. This man despised godly men. 150 prophets had to hide in a cave. Micaiah, the son
son of Imlah. He hated that man. He never says anything good about me. Everything about this Ahab is bad, 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 bad. You hear me? His sons were bad. His children were bad. His kingdom was bad. His intentions were bad. Everything, his wife was bad. Everything he did was against God. Everything that his mind was on was against God. He had no appreciation for the traditions, as Paul called them, of our fathers. None. 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 I want Naboth's vineyard. I don't care what you have to do to Naboth. Lie on him. Kill him. Do what you got to do. But I got to have the vineyard. But Naboth had a heart after God. I got this from my fathers. I'm not going to sell it. You can't have it. It'll be over my dead body. And it was over his dead body. Come on. He did not appreciate the things of God. He was vile. Is this all right? He was vile. I know it's simple, but it's what I feel in my heart. Amen. He had moments of contrition. At Carmel, he felt God and trembled and feared the Lord. In Naboth's vineyard, he cried out and humbled himself. And God showed a measure of mercy. But the whole of Ahab was exceeding vile before the Lord. There was nothing good about this man at all. And yet our text tells us that Jehoshaphat, with the favor of God, with the anointing of God, with the help of God, with the blessings of God, with no war in his camp, and Israel had war all the time. No trouble to speak out. God was with him. Standing army, standing in Jerusalem, ready at any moment to defend him. And the Bible said he joined affinity with Ahab. Married in. Put him in. Wouldn't just go see him. I noticed something as I read the word of the Lord today. That Ahab never went to see Jehoshaphat. Ahab never went up to Jerusalem. But Jehoshaphat went down, the scripture says, to Samaria. That ought to tell us something. Ahab doesn't want what Jehoshaphat wants. Ahab is not interested in what Jehoshaphat is interested in. Ahab doesn't want to know about the sacrifices before God. Ahab is not interested in the favor of the Lord upon his people. Ahab is only interested in what's in it for him. Ahab never goes to Jerusalem. And so if there's going to be any affinity, it's going to be because Jehoshaphat goes down to Samaria. But he went. I don't understand. How in the world? You know, that would be like, you forgive me for this, I hope you will, that would be like going from the service last night around this altar, feeling the presence of God, and meeting somebody in a bar. You could not be more polar opposite. It would be like going down to a sorry part of town to indulge in unspeakable sins from an atmosphere that we felt around here this afternoon, where the Holy Ghost intervened and talked to us. But Jehoshaphat went down. And I can't get that in my mind. I'm having trouble understanding how that happened. The first verse of the 17th chapter tells us that when he was in his right mind, he strengthened himself against Israel. He strengthened himself against Israel. And I read to you where the Bible said that the fear of the Lord came upon all nations. If you turn back in the book of 1 Kings or 2 Kings, 1 Kings, pardon me, you will read where the Bible said that Israel and Judah had peace for 3 years. The reason they had peace for 3 years and no war for 3 years was because God was on Jehoshaphat's side. But down he goes. Down he goes. And I don't understand why he's going down. What did he see down there? What was going on in his mind? What happened to his thinking? Where did he arrive at this tragic place? Because it is tragic. And how did he justify himself? And what kind of barriers did he wade through? What kind of obstacles from God did he have to push aside to get down there? Three times he tried to go. Three times he was met by the preacher. Don't do this. You've got problems on your hands if you do this. But Jehoshaphat, I know where I'm at. I'm an elder now. I've got this all worked out. I can handle this. I'm above that. You boys don't understand what I've got going on in my mind. No, we don't, Jehoshaphat. We sure don't. We don't know what you've got going on, but we're scared of it. I'll tell you that right now. We're scared of it. Why did he go down? And the Bible tells us in the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles that there was a son by the name of Jehoram. And Jehoram became king after his father's death. And Jehoram had married Ahab's daughter. And the Bible said, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that when he got himself into the throne, that he got his little position secure, and he killed every one of his brethren. Every one of his brethren. I hope you're with me tonight. Brother, I feel this. I don't know where all this is going, but I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I pray today that God would illuminate my mind, because this is the only thing I can feel. It's the only thing that's pulsating in my heart. I went through things. I went back to Moses. I thought this will fit with everything else that's going on. And I wanted to talk about Moses, but I sat there today and I finally closed my Bible. And I said, Holy Ghost, you've got to give me infallible proof that this is the will of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, he came down and I knew that this is the will of God. Praise the Lord. I may be preaching to young preachers here tonight that are looking around and you're trying to make up your mind whether to stay with Jehoshaphat's group and the favor of God, or whether or not you ought to reach out and see if Ahab's got a little bit to offer. I feel a sternness in my spirit tonight. I feel a Holy Ghost anointing upon my heart tonight. I beg you in the fear of God, get on back to the simplicity. Get on back apostolic living. Get on back to Holy Ghost anointing. So he killed his brethren. Jehoshaphat would have never done that. Jehoshaphat would have never killed those boys. Jehoshaphat would have never destroyed the future of the kingdom. He never would have taken the brakes off. He never would have killed the checks and balances. Never. Never. Oh, I don't have most of you. But I'm going to preach anyhow. Some of you want your pastor to take away the checks and balances. Some of you want the pastor to take away the standards out of the church. Some of you want to lift your ugly head and say to the pastor, we'll do it this way if you'll allow us to do it this way. All it takes for a church to go wholesale into charismatic revival is for the pulpit to shut its mouth and folks to just start dilly-dallying around with Ahab's group, brother, and you'll have it so fast you won't even recognize that it happened.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
My soul is stirred within me. Strong churches are being turned over to men that did not pay a price to watch them grow. They did not do the sacrifices. I don't want to stumble for words here, but they're taking churches that they did not build, and they're large, strong, apostolic churches, mission-giving churches, revival churches, preacher-producing churches, and they're taking those churches from the hundreds down to the few dozens, and they're introducing everything that they can get their hands on, every carnal book they can read, every charismatic idea that they can get their mind around, everything that they can embrace that they think is going to make them more palatable and acceptable to this world. They're bringing it in. It's not causing revival. It's causing death. It's causing division. It's causing destruction.
I'm preaching to a mixed group. There's boys in this house, they haven't heard a word I said. They're so busy talking and laughing and carrying on, they could care less about what's going on. You better hear this preacher tonight. Amen. I'm not playing church tonight. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this house. Somebody needs to get a hold of something. Somebody needs to make up their mind. There needs to be some mamas and some daddies that reach back into your past and get a hold of that altar experience again and pray through until the Holy Ghost is vibrant in your home.
Several months ago, a young man called me. This started my mind on this journey. And he said, Brother Garrett, tell me. He said, you're an elder. I'd go look in the mirror. I had no idea. I finally got there. The young man told me tonight when I was parking, he ran after me with a flashlight. And so I stopped and rolled the window down. And he looked in the car and he stared at me real hard. And he said, you're an elder. Park where you want to. So I did. Hallelujah. I don't know when I got there. I don't know what day I woke up and I was in the elderhood. But I guess I am. So I'll just take it as it comes and enjoy the journey. But I got this phone call, and it was a good young man. He pastors an apostolic church, and he was crying. And he said, Brother Garrett, I just need to ask you, is it still all right to preach what we have been preaching against movies, against Hollywood, against DVDs, against videos, against television? And I said, my brother, I said, I'm stunned that this question is coming from you. And he said, Brother Garrett, he said, I just want an answer. I said, I've got to ask you a question first. Why are you asking the question? He said, because my peers have changed their stance. He said, they're buying vehicles that have the little screen, and they're buying movies to entertain their children in the back seat. And they're telling me it's all right. And they're telling me that our elders approve of it. And they're telling me that everything is okay, that this is acceptable to God. And I said, my brother, I'm going to tell you something. This is not acceptable. We're still preaching against that. We're still taking a stand in our churches. We're still believing that God has got it written down in heaven. Oh, I know I'm in store. I can preach this way. But I won't preach because there's those that will hear the CD and those that will listen out somewhere else. Praise the Lord. 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 An affinity with Ahab. I don't understand it. I can't get it in my mind. Why did he do this? Did he become sympathetic for his erring brethren? Did he look around and say, you know, they're not so bad. After all, they're still Abraham's children. They're not doing what we're doing, and they have tried to stop us. Did he become sympathetic? Did he develop an affinity, thinking that it would cause them to repent and turn from the backsliding?
My God, what did he think?
Did he think that if I rub shoulders enough with them, that that'll be enough to change them?
My God.
What was he thinking? Did it work? Will it work now? A sympathetic eye to those that are in transgression against God will not change them. A message of deliverance will help them. A prayer at an altar begging God to help them will get a hold of their heart. I'm walking thin tonight. I know I am. I know I am. I know I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel so bad coming on the heels of what these brethren have done. Here I am, and I can't believe it, but it's my lot. And I signed up to be his man, not yours. Did he become careless with the blessings of God and begin to feel bulletproof? Did he become like Samson? Shake himself once too often? Why did he join affinity with the God cursed and the God hated? Hallelujah. Did his desire for Israel to return to the fold, for Israel to one more time be counted among the blessed, did his desire overrun his warning from the man of God? Hallelujah. It's around us. It's around us. It's around us. It's everywhere around us. We're moving. We're moving in uncharted territories. Pentecost is dividing, separating. Yes, it is. Amen. I'm going to say it out loud. You can give me a Baptist nod if you choose to, but Pentecost is dividing and separating. Hallelujah. There's some that are embracing strange ways and forsaking old paths, and they're not going forward, as we heard this morning from the commandment of the Lord. But rather, they've begun this milling around in an endless, ceaseless circle, looking for their identity and searching to find their way again, because they have lost their way and they are embracing strange doctrines. They're embracing Trinitarianism as our brethren. They are embracing false doctrine for the sake of revival. They are embracing what God hates. Are you hearing me? You're not hearing me. I said they're beginning to embrace what God has despised. Paul Harvey said that America is sick because of television in the home. The psychologists will tell you that our children are warped and they're bent, irreparably bent, because of what they see in the programming of television. And yet there are those foolish enough that want to show it to their young people, that want to excuse it in their homes. I thought I was in an apostolic conference. I thought I was preaching the Life Tabernacle. Foolish. Where did they come up with that thinking? Where did they get that kind of mentality? What caused them to slide down that slippery slope, precipitously to the edge? The abyss of no return is beckoning them, headed into that horrible place called the reprobate mind. You can pull my coattail anytime you want to. Hallelujah. What's happening to our fellowship? Embracing strange ways. Pulling people close that neither love their God nor appreciate their stand. Mock them behind their back. Make fun of you when you're out of their presence. But they'll take your money. They'll take your mission dollars. They'll take your subsidies. Oh, I'm preaching tonight. All the while hating your guts for what you stand for. And slowly but surely co-opting you until you don't even recognize the subtle changes in your own life. We've had so much shout now theology that our doctrine in many places is in grave danger of being forever ignored. Men and women no longer have a clear-cut understanding of the mighty God in Christ. Ran into it this past week. Two young men that I love. I really love them. But they've been reading books. And they've been reading and studying things. And they've got this concept now that Jesus Christ was just a vehicle for the Spirit of the Almighty God. And that the only thing that was important was the Spirit within. Error, error. Error, error. And I've been shedding tears over them. And I have been weeping profusely over them. What has happened? What's going on? Where are these strange things coming from? Why is there an affinity with these things that don't seem to matter to anybody? Amen. But they matter to God. Can a man be joined to a harlot and not be one flesh? Hallelujah. It's showing up in our youth conventions. It's showing up in our young people in our churches. Amen. Whether we like it or not, we are globally connected. Amen. Whether we understand it or not, their influence is outside of our congregation. And we no longer have the luxury of isolating them because of technology and the advances of technology. And it's showing up in our congregations. Ahab married some things that brought the disfavor of God. And when Jehoshaphat married Ahab, when they made an affinity, oh God help us, it killed his future. It destroyed the favor of God upon him. And at one place he had to run for his very life. Do we have a bad spirit if we protect future generations of apostolics from compromised Pentecost? Do we have a bad spirit when we protect our youth from weird worldly hairstyles, hip-hop inspired clothing, worldly charismatic music and musicians? Are we strange when we want the lights up and the music to represent that which you can worship God to and not gyrate the body with? Is anybody else bothered by the colored lights and the spinning globes and the smoke?
Yes!
Is anybody else
Hallelujah. Is anybody else bothered by preaching that overemphasizes self-help and is weak on doctrine and holiness? When's the last time you heard a message on hell? When's the last time heaven looked so sweet to you through the preaching of the Word that this world looked cheap and tawdry in comparison? When's the last time that you picked yourself up from the floor after hours and hours of visiting in His presence? Does it bother anybody else that our singers and song leaders never pray before church? You can find them out in the vestibule. You can find them busy in the parking lot. You can find them stroking their egos. But you can't find them in the prayer room. And they're going to take us before the throne of God. Disturbed by flesh demonstrations resembling rock concerts and clubs, bar rooms masquerading as worship? Is anybody upset about double standard churches that have one set of rules and guidelines for the platform and another for the congregation? Where is the old gray-headed prophet? That'll stand up in the pulpit with Holy Ghost running off of him and say, we ought not have that here. All right. Yes. All right. Where is the evangelist that will pray until he touches God and can help our congregations and leave us better than he found us? Did it die with Joe Duke? Did it die with Verbal Bean? Did it die with old men of God? Where's the preaching on the oneness of God that makes people shout and rejoice and weep until tears and sweat are mingled together? Ahab, you have nothing to offer us. Is anybody bothered by the rhinestones and the jewels that have moved from the fingers to the hair and the clothing? Does anybody have a broken heart because Pentecost is almost completely overrun with hair coloring women and vain men? They care more about their appearance than a godly demeanor. What are you marrying? We're trying to pull them into our fellowship. We're just trying to help Ahab. But Ahab didn't come to you. Ahab didn't come asking. Ahab never made any overtures. You went after Ahab. You went to find him. I can tell I've overpreached my stay. Ahab, do you want what we've got, come on up to Jerusalem. There was a queen of the south. She didn't have any more than you had, Ahab. And she came up. And when she got there, she said, I don't have any more strength. I can't say anything. I didn't know this was still available. I didn't know you could still have this. Hallelujah. 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 We'll bring them into our fellowship. And then we'll trick them out of their television. We'll bring them into our fellowship. And we'll change their doctrine. We'll bring them into our fellowship and offer them positions in our fellowship. Close by the throne to us. And in so doing, we'll influence them. You don't understand. Some bright-eyed little boys that sit around Pentecost. I'm telling you, this is real. And Brother Booker, they're so hungry to know God. And so everything that they see, they're trying to mimic it. And when we show them how to honor Ahab, how to embrace Ahab, how to build affinities with Ahab. This first generation won't do it, but the next generation, it'll find Jehoshaphat's seed. They're still doing what Jehoshaphat did, still loving what Jehoshaphat loved, and they'll cut him off. If he was such a good man, he'd be with us, they'd say. But he's not of our stripe and he doesn't carry our badge. He can't be a very good man. Because they're marrying some things that ain't helping. It's pretty sober on the last night. For the pageant, you put me under so much pressure today, I can't believe it. I thought I'd have to loosen the safety valve up here to get the pressure off. Because you said we're so near to an explosion. And I thought, okay, God. Okay. Okay, God. This is what's on my heart. This is what's on my spirit. And I can't get away from it. And I refuse to apologize for it. And I feel the Holy Ghost working here. I think there's some folks that want to embrace Jehoshaphat and the God of Jehoshaphat. And they're going to tell Ahab, sorry, bub. Sorry, bub. If you want what we got, you come show up. You come to Jerusalem with us. You go in there and worship like we did. You start where we started. You get the favor of God working on you, and then you can have our fellowship. But until then, I'm sorry. If you're going to have a television church, you're not in my fellowship. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If you're going to have a jewelry-wearing church, you're not in my fellowship. I'm not going to confuse my young people. I'm not going to confuse my young men. I'm not going to confuse the God of heaven. I'm not going to cut off the favor of the Lord. I'm not doing it. Not for you. Not for anybody, Ahab. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I put a little lock. I put a little lock on the door. Brother Ham, you know the code still. A little lock on the door. There's a light switch there. 24 hours a day, you can come in the auditorium. You can pray. One night, I said, I'm going to stay here all night. I want to see how this is being used. They were coming at 10 o'clock at night. They were coming at midnight. They were coming at 3 o'clock in the morning. They were coming at 5 a.m. They were coming at 6. They were still coming by 10. They were coming in and out, visiting in the presence of God. Holy Ghost. We've had several notable miracles recently take place of instant healings of major afflictions. Cancer. There's a man, I could give you his phone number, that God healed him of pancreatic cancer the night Buddy Swindle preached for us. My brother died of pancreatic cancer. The doctor told me in the presence of my brother, there is no cure for pancreatic cancer. When you get it, you die. But oh, God healed that man, and he's still living tonight. He's still living. He's still living. I won't trade that, Brother Booker. I won't trade 74-year-old women coming down to an altar to get the Holy Ghost. I won't trade the favor of God for any fellowship with Ahab. I'm sorry, I won't do it. Count me out. Count me weird. Count me a loner. Do whatever, but don't take the favor of God from me. I want it more than anything. If you want it, would you begin to make your way to this altar? Would you begin to seek the face of God? I feel like this is in order tonight with what we've been hearing. It's time to take a look. Time to take a look. Say, Holy Ghost, where am I? Oh, God. I'm asking the saints to come from the pews. You haven't been coming much with the preachers. I'm asking you to come. I'm asking young people to come out of those pews. You boys.